All right, I just want you to know I'm very, very thirsty today, and this is my favorite cup, so I thought I'd drink out of my favorite cup, and you know, don't mind me having to take a couple drinks today, okay? Be patient with me. My throat's been a little dry this last week. One announcement that I do want to put in front of you is the whole month of November, we are going to do what is called a warm offering, all right? You don't put this in the offering plate. This is, as you can tell, the weather has changed, starting to get a little bit more chilly out there. And as far as I understand in Illinois, it doesn't get any better until maybe May, right? Who knows? It's kind of, that's how it goes, right? It's going to start getting really cold. And what the warm offering is this. We see needs in our community, right? You could probably drive down downtown Springfield and see people that need help and love. And one of the ways that we would like to help with this is each Sunday, we want to offer the opportunity where we lay down socks, gloves, hats, jackets, anything that you think of that will keep you warm, all right, that you're outside and you have either extra of or you can go and get extra of, we want to bring that here on a Sunday. And we want to do a couple things with it. We want to pray over it because we understand what this represents. These products represent humanity, right? And the people that will be wearing them. And we want to pray for them and not just pray. We're not praying for the items themselves. We're praying over the people that will be wearing the items. We want them to know that they're loved, that they're cared for, that they're not forgotten. That Springfield First Church, the Nazarene, we recognize them and want to love on them. And we want them to know the biggest thing that will keep them warm in their heart is Christ in the center of it. Right? That wants to be our biggest message, but at the same time, we need to fit a need where there's a need that's available. So this is the opportunity. So a whole month of November, we're going to be taking warm offering. And our hope is that you just bring it here, you put it on the stage, you put it near the altar, and it is our offering to God to say, "Hey, we see your people in need, we love your people, we want to help them." All right? So this is the challenge, church. Be thinking about that. Be praying about that. What do I need to get? This is the thing. We don't want used socks, right? So if they're nice jackets that you have, like I got a couple nice jackets that I'm never going to wear, but I also have a jacket that I do all my work in that I wouldn't want anybody else to wear. It's gross. You get it? I also have hats that I love, but nobody else would ever want to wear that hat. Right? They're just gross. I have sweated, like it's built up on my hat. But that's me. And I look at that hat and go, that's part of me. But nobody else needs to have that hat, right? Our thought is we want to give something to people that we know that we would wear if we received it, all right? So I want you to be thinking about that, be praying about that. We want to be a church that makes a difference in our world, all right? This week, this beginning of this month, we have been talking about give, right? Last week it was about giving our life as a sacrifice for Jesus. Understanding he's got a call on our life, understanding he gave his life as a sacrifice for us, and he calls us to pick up our cross daily and follow him, right? This week we want to talk about what it means, maybe, if it works, maybe not. If you want to click ahead, give worry. Right? All right. I kind of filled it to the brim. Let's see how this works. I'm sorry. That was really bad. I want to keep it full just in case, though. All right? All right. Try it again? All right. Let's see. Oh, all right. We're good. It's just me. All right? Well, all right, I see you up there. This sermon just changed a whole bunch. All right, this week we're talking about worries and what it means to give all our worries to God. All right, And it can be difficult. And as I was prepping for this, I started thinking about some of the, as I do, my own little world that I lived in and examples of what worry is. And I want you to know, I'm perfect in this area. I don't worry about things. I'm married. She has all the worries to carry the load of our family. And the moment I think we got married and it intensified each time we had a kid, like her worry just tripled and doubled and quadrupled each time, right? She goes, okay, I married somebody that just, he's reckless with life. Look at him. I thought it was funny and awesome when we were dating that he would take, we talked about it last week, that I would take like the little lunch trays out of Olivet and use it as sleds behind a car. You know, that's a lot of fun during the wintertime, right? Until somebody decides to stop abruptly. Ouch. But it's still fun, okay? And she thought it was funny then, but then all of a sudden we got married, and you're like, no, that's not funny anymore. I now have to worry me, like, if you break something, I'm the one that has to take care of you. But she's an excellent nurse. I'm sorry, I can't lie. All right? I love her dearly. But I was thinking about this as I was prepping for this sermon, and I thought about the first time we went out west, and we were prepping for our trip for our out west. And it was like a week and a half before we went to Montana. And my wife, we're going to go visit my wife's family. We're going to go help them. They have two ranches out there in Montana. And I want to tell you, it is, how many ladies are there? Six? That's out there, six aunts and one uncle that lives out there, right? And they all kind of get together, and I want you to know they're meaner and tougher than me. And they look like it, too. All right? I hope they're not watching. They'll hurt me the next time I see them. All right? I love you guys. It's awesome. You guys are great. You're sweet ladies. We went, before we went, go that week and a half before we started really prepping for the trip, my wife started just thinking about everything that could go wrong and just started worrying about everything that could, like, we just got a new vehicle. What if it doesn't make this trip? That's putting a lot of miles on our new vehicle. Should we do this trip in this? Should we go rent another car? What are we going to do with our dog? I don't think he should go on the trip. Do you think your mom can watch him? I'm worried. It's a little puppy. She won't, I don't know, maybe she'll pee all over your mom's, the worries. What if our house floods while we're gone? Oh, I don't know, what if somebody breaks into our house? What if the stove accidentally gets turned on right before we leave? Like, what if the doors are not locked? What if the garage door starts to go down and we pull away and we don't realize that it hit something and starts to go back up and it's open the entire time? Like, this is the world that I lived with. Like, everything you can imagine to worry about. Jackson, am I wrong? No, see? You worried about it, right? And then it was the day before. And the day before, she was packing, but she was going, I don't think we should go. And everything she kept putting in, I don't think we should go. Do you really think we should go? Yes. And early on, Ben did not handle it really well. Like, I would be frustrated, be like, why are you, like, start having an argument. Why are you worried about these things? Later on, Ben has gone, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. Like, I started learning, this is just the process before we go on a trip, right? So we finally get in the car, and it's like a mile down from the house, and it's a switch. And it's like, all those worries that she had are gone. And she's like, all right. We're doing car bingo, let's have fun, right? And we're gone for an entire week and a half. I think it was maybe even 2 weeks we were gone that first time, right? And we had a lot of chores to do in Montana. And it was a lot of fun, and we're driving back. And not one of those things that while we were there did she bring up and worry about. Like, honestly, like, there was fears about what if our house floods while we're gone, right? And not one time while we're in Montana did she go, I wonder how our house is doing. I wish we could call it and just see how it's going. Right? Not once. And I will be honest, like, she'll be honest with you. The moment that we pulled back into our driveway, Her first words were, you know, if you said it, Ben, I'll turn back around and we'll go right back on this trip. I loved it. My question for us today is this, right? And it's early on in the service. I want you to live with this question. It's like, imagine allowing all these worries to dictate your life, and what if we didn't go on that trip? Now, I want you to know, the very first time that I had an opportunity to go on a trip to Montana, I heard about her family. I loved them dearly. My interaction with her family was at a wedding, my wedding, and we did the dollar dance. Anybody know what the dollar dance is, right? You pay a dollar to dance either with the groom or the bride, and usually the bride wins. I remember her uncle paid to dance with me. He had the cowboy hat on. He had the belts on. I'm pretty sure he was strapped somewhere, right? He had the boots. He had the full-on I'm a rancher kind of guy, big, and he just stood there. It was our first time ever meeting, and I had already we already exchanged vows. This is afterwards. This is wedding's done. And he just looked at me and goes, if you hurt her, I have plenty of land. I was like, what's that mean? Do you want to dance? Like, that's right? That was my first time meeting the people from Montana. So they decided to go on, my wife and her family decided to go on a trip, and I said, I'm going to stay back. I got to work. Did not go. I was worried. I don't know, part of the militia out there in Montana. I don't know, right? And I've heard enough stories, and I decided the next time I go, I'm going to go. And I tell you what, I love them dearly. It was a lot of fun. They give each other a hard time. And I fit in just perfect with them to where they could take my hard times right back at them. Like, I loved it. It was a good time, right? And I will tell you, it was so tempting. The moment my wife said, we pulled back in the driveway and she said, hey, you know, if you say yes, let's turn back around and let's go again. Because first off, the trip offered, what, about 4 or 5 days trapped in a car with my kids. And some of you might be like, oh, I want you to know it was a godsend. It was awesome. It was an opportunity to get to know my kids even on a better basis. It was an opportunity to see the world through their eyes, to hear what's going on. We have now inside jokes of like the Econo Lodge, we call them Echo Lodge because that's what my son saw. And so the words, he's like, hey, we should stay at the Echo Lodge. You know, just silly things between a family, right? If we allowed our fear to sit there, I wouldn't have had that. And ever since then, we do this trip probably like every 3 years, right? They save up all the worst chores for us by that third year, right? And we get to go out and do those chores, love it. And I don't think it would have happened if Michelle allowed her fears to rule her and say, listen, I just don't think this is the year we should do it. We're just not ready. I don't think you can drive me all the way. I don't think this house, I'm not ready to let go of this house to be safe in its worries, right? And so like, oh, oops. I don't have a drinking problem, all right? But I'm thirsty. All right? So worries can get in our way, frustrate us, and give us an excuse of why not to do stuff. Right? Put that over here. I don't want to get ruined. And so I want to kind of go through some verse. I want to talk about, first off, Luke 12:15 says this. Then he said to them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist of abundance of possessions. And how does this deal with worry? It deals with worry because the moment that the possessions own me, then what's my biggest worry? Everything I own. It dictates me. It tells me how to live. And it makes it so I make all my decisions about life through my possessions. All right? Luke 12:33 says this, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. The very first part, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Listen, this is not so much about the stuff that you have, it's about the stuff that owns you. And what he was telling this person at this time is like, listen, if you're willing to follow me, if you're willing to follow me, these things won't be the excuse. But it's easy to worry about, like, hey, wait a minute. I've done a lot of work to provide for this. This is who I am. I have a house. I have three cars. I have a dog. I have a grill. I have a nice back patio. I have these things that I enjoy. And if I don't have that, how am I going to be bent? Right? It's easy to be caught up in that stuff, and then that becomes your worry, is your stuff. Now, is it wrong that I want to take care of my stuff? Absolutely not. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is when it dictates your attitude, your life choices, and you don't want to do stuff because it'll hinder it, or you don't want to lend it out to people because you're afraid of what will come back, I want to challenge you on that. I want to challenge you on that, all right? Matthew 6, 25 says this, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than the food and the body more than your clothes? But seek first the kingdom of his righteousness. All these things will be given to you as well. Now, there's a reason why, I'm guessing you kind of already know, maybe. I don't just have a cup up here. I don't usually drink this much water. I'd be afraid right now to drink this much water to have an intermission. Woo! All right. It's water. Trust me. All right. But I wanted to give you an example of how we live life today, right? We live in a life that's very fast-paced, and we jam our life full of stuff, right? And we're worried about that stuff. And I want you to know, too, that we have a tendency to do this. I mean, it's already filled to the brim. But there's still some more that I could put in there, right? Okay, all right. Like, now it's full. Trust me, I asked if it was okay if it leaked on the floor. I was told it's okay. All right? Don't worry about it. All right? If I have people worrying about it, I'm just, man, this sermon's for you. All right? All right? The other aspect of this, too, is that I thought about this is how we kind of live our life. We want to be at the forefront of everything, have everything that we need, but we don't realize all the worry that it comes with. And I want you to, too, from your perspective, first off, you might not know, like, half the cup is lit, you know, off the edge, it's full. I'm waving my hand kind of wildly, who knows, right? You can knock off. I think we kind of live in a way like this with our relationship with God, with all the stuff that we have and all the worries that we have, that this symbolizes God, right? Everything about God, right here, life of God. And we like to put everything us, we want to be connected to God. But our life, we desire to have our own. And so, like, we want to be kind of with God and have everything, and we carry everything, and we want God to give. We want to give God all our worries and concerns, and so we stay connected to him, and he kind of, like, yeah, okay, you can have some of it. Okay, wait a minute. Let me take that back. You get it? This is kind of how we are with God. And it sits there. And then all suddenly, guess what we become? I hate to say it, but we become whiny, helpless little Christians sometimes. And we become, woe is me, because I have to do this and this and this, and I'm worried about this and this. And we live in a world that is this and this and this, and we have forgotten how big God is. And he comes up and he goes, listen, I've got you. I've got you. Everything in this world is under me. And if you have me, everything in here, you don't have to carry. Who's got the biggest support here of my issues and my problems? It is not this cup. It is right here. It's leaking. Is that where you're going? Right? And what's cool about this, too, is like I wanted to give this quote before I even started, and I'm just thinking about it. A great speaker talked about this, and he said, there was two thieves, two criminals on the cross with Jesus, right? And one mocked Jesus for being on there, and the other one said, I want to be in heaven with you, right? And Jesus said, it is done. You're invited. Come, right? And all of a sudden, that thief or that criminal shows up at the pearly gates, and Peter looks at him and goes, hey, why are you here? And all he has to say is, I was invited by Jesus. I don't think you quite understand how impactful that statement is, because the thief didn't have to do anything to make his life right to be in heaven with Jesus Christ. All he had to do is, we are invited by Jesus. Imagine understanding your faith in those terms of going, I am invited into a relationship with my Creator, the one that loves me. And all the things that I worry about, he says, let me have them. They don't tend to fade away. The struggles of today are still here today. But this is what he also says. He says, listen, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will have its own issues. Tomorrow will have its own problems. Worry about today and know that I'm in the middle of this with you today. And I'm carrying it with you today. Right? He tells us these things, not to worry about these things, because he will provide these things. I'm going to tell you right now, I think there's only one time in my life, maybe little bit of time, it's always during the summer, and I didn't have a job, and I got to be living at home, that I had zero worries about, am I going to have food on the table? Am I going to have clothes on my back? I didn't worry about those things. Loved it. I was taken care of, right? My mom did a great job. My dad did a great job. They provided, all right? And I will tell, like, the things that I, do you think I was worry-free? Nope. I'm human. You know what I did worry? Do I have friends? What am I going to do this weekend? Am I going to be alone this weekend? Come on, I don't want to be left out. Like, we are born natural to worry about something. And the reality is this. Because most of the time, our life is lived like this. Where it's me being the center of my world. And my focus is everything that's in this cup. And I can't look beyond that. Right? And this is where I live. And especially as a teenager, this is where I lived. Right? And I will tell you, the moment I decided this life is just not living the way I want, this, there's something better, and I heard the message of Jesus Christ, and I heard about salvation, and I heard what he had for me, I wanted it. But I also knew I carried a lot of baggage with me. I didn't quite understand early on that the thief on the cross, he didn't do anything to earn a relationship with Jesus. He just was invited to be in a relationship, and he said yes. I think many of us think we have to get our life right before we do this. And we worry about our past, and we worry about the things in which we were, and worry about who we were, and that's not where Jesus is at with you. Jesus loved me right here, died for me right here, invited me into a relationship right here so I could be right here. And I'll tell you, through my life, I have been this, right? And I've been close, and I've been struggling, and I want you to know this is part of the life with God. And God continues, wants to say, listen, I give you that moment to have free will. I give you these moments to in this relationship to understand, hey, this is part of life. If you choose, you're going to have ups and downs. But I want you to know, wholeness, completeness, satisfaction, redemption, love, true love is found right here. And I want you to know, the more that I keep pouring into this, the more God keeps handling it. I'm sorry. All right? You see, great example. I'm ashamed of that. I'm a little nervous about that. I'm wondering how many people are going to be upset. God comes in and goes, it's okay. The way you are, the stuff that you do, I'm big enough to handle it for you. And I love you right where you're at. And I'll pull you back off the ledge if you allow me. And I want you to be healthy. And the worries that you have, I want you to know you don't carry them alone. In fact, I don't want you to carry them at all. I want you to be dependent upon me. Right? You talked about the storm and Jesus falling asleep in the storm. I don't think he knew what I was preaching today, not unless Peg told him, right? And I don't think they talk much. I'm digging graves today, right? Him saying that scripture about Jesus just laying in, there's a storm and he's in the boat and he's just asleep. That's not Jesus not caring. Because I think a lot of us think about that in terms of like we go through storms and we wonder if Jesus is asleep through our storm. You know, a year and a half ago, my life was completely different. I was not here. I took this position. And I want you to know, my first year was a complete worry. I'm going to be really blunt and honest as a pastor. I thought, man, I'm going to blow this thing. Every decision I make, is they're not going to buy into. Everything that I preach on, they're not going to connect with. Everything... God, you cannot be serious that you want me to be here. I'm not that guy. And part of that is pretty truthful. I'm not that guy. But you know who is through me? God. I'm going to make poor decisions sometimes. I'm going to make things that I'm going to regret saying or I'm going to wish I didn't say up here on the stage, like this morning already, right? And I know my God is bigger than those things. And he's not just asleep, but he's in the boat with me because he knows he's secure. He knows he's got this, and he doesn't need to worry about the storms. But this is the cool thing. If you read the rest of the story, they're freaking out. The disciples are freaking out. I want you to know, in my life, there have been moments that I have felt the pressure, the anxiety, the worries of the world. I have thought, this is the end of Ben. I'm not going to have a job next week. I'm not going to... Like, these things have just sat there and rolled in my mind, in my heart. There's moments that I have gotten home from church and I go, I said this. I wonder if they took it this. Like, I've done that whole game, right? And that whole night, I don't sleep because all I can think about is, did I hurt their feelings? Did I make them upset? Are they going to come back? Oh, like, there's this world that we live in, and I'm saying this to make you understand, I think we all live in this sometimes. Right? And this is our storm. And I think it's storms of worry, and if you look at how what the direct reflection of what worry is anxiety. And we are the most anxious culture in the world today. In our time ever. Anxiety, if you read any psychological handbook, they're telling you right now, like the levels of, and people getting diagnosed with anxiety, high anxiety, it's just skyrocketing. Right? And they're handing out more medication than they ever have before. And I want you to know why this is, because a lot of people think spiritually they don't understand that they're in this boat alone and carrying all these worries and frustrations that they were never meant to carry. I was never meant to carry these worries. I'm not designed to carry these worries. The world was broken, and now we live in this, and now I carry it because I'm afraid of what everybody else is going to think of me. I'm afraid of what everything I say and I do is going to have consequences. Like, I just worry about that, right? And without God in the boat, I don't know how people make it by. But with God in the boat, and even if he's sleeping, guess what? What did the disciples do? Hey, wake up, I need help. He woke up, and what did he do? He calmed the storm. Listen, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what the worries that you've been carrying. I don't know what the frustrations and maybe your anxiety levels have been super high. I just know that you are called to give your worries upon God. And maybe you have been living a life to the full, and you are connected to God, but it has been on the edge going, I can do this. I can do it. I can do it. I got it. And just running out of breath and going, I can't pray right now. I got to do this. I can't. I don't know what Scripture's saying. I got to do this. I can't reach out to people right now because I got to do this. And every Scripture says, listen, cast all your fears and worries upon me. Allow God to carry you. Allow God to be in a relationship with you. Allow God to readjust where your concerns are in the first place. You know what? Some things have to be dropped. Some things have to be ignored. Some things just don't need completed. Why? Because spiritually you can't do it right. Spiritually, you need to spend some quality time with God. Spiritually, you need to spend some reconnecting time and going, God, this is where I'm at. I'm on my knees, and I am to the breaking point. And everything in my world is shattered. And you have forgotten that he's in the boat with you. Maybe you need to cry out to God this week. Maybe you need to slow down and understand your hope is not in the stuff that you have, not in the stuff that you're doing, not in the stuff that's around us. It's not in this world. It's not in this America. It's not. Your hope is in God. And when God is in the center of your life, it readjusts everything in how you see it to a healthy way of looking at it. It readjusts how you see your worries. I want you to know, And this is not woe has been. I still think and I wonder, why, God? Why did you call me here? Why did you have me here? Why am I this guy? But I know the answer is because God is bigger than me. And I can only do this because of what God has done in my life. And I think the same thing goes for you wherever you're at in your walk, wherever you're at with what job you're doing, with what career you're looking at, whatever, or being a husband or a wife or a kid. Like, this is where you're at because God loves you and wants to use you where you're at. And it's only through God that it can be accomplished to its fullest. This morning, maybe you feel overwhelmed, exhausted. All you've done is worry, worry, and worry. My charge for you this week is this: to give your worries to God. To ask God, what is standing in the way of between me and you? What am I? Maybe even ask God, what is sitting there that I'm so worried about? And what do I need to hand over to you? Stand with me. First Timothy says this: in this way, I will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life. really quick. Tim was a young man pastoring a church full of problems. I am nowhere near that. I'm not saying that, but I want you to understand what's being written to Tim here. We can all sympathize with, right? Your life might be frustrated wherever you're working, but understand that you are to take hold of life, that is what is truly life. And life is found in Jesus. This week, my hope, when you start to feel anxious, when you start to feel worried, when you start to feel like there's impending doom, take a hold of life. What is truly life? Hold on to Jesus this week. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for all you have done for us. Thank you for caring about us, Lord. Thank you for being in the boat. Lord, I pray that our lives can be an opportunity to shine your glory, your hope, and even in the chaos of this world. Lord, I pray that we give you our worries today. I pray that we don't worry about tomorrow, that we go home and that we live in the moment with our family, that we live in the moment with our friends, our neighbors, that we are there, that we are not worried about what is going to happen tomorrow because you have tomorrow. May we live in the presence with you right now. Thank you for all you've done, Lord. Be with our church. May we go out and be your light unto this world. May we bring hope because we seek hope in you. We give you all the praise. Amen. You're dismissed, church.